Welcome to the Anoxa Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. A little snippet from the book that I wanted to cover because I think it's probably going to come up. So I figured I would just detail it here first. And sort of run it down a little bit, just give you some highlights of the book and things to look forward to if you're not all the way through it. In my startup draft strategies chapter, I detail in a heading called The Problem with Value. And I'll paraphrase some of this here. But in Dynasty Fantasy Football, a lot of the analysis will focus on market values of players, and a high percentage of Dynasty GMs will focus on the market and trade value of players as the goal of team building. In theory, market value matters, but in reality, market value is frequently irrational, and it's even more importantly difficult to predict. An example I use is Mike Evans. In 2020, his market value began to fall as a narrative he was a boom-bust player took hold. There were two key flaws to the market value movement. First, the boom-bust nature of Evans that concerned folks is a characteristic of the wide receiver position as a whole. It wasn't specific to Evans. Second, the data is clear that there's no impact on your team in the long haul by high variance performance. In short, the market price for Mike Evans was dropping for reasons that were completely unrelated to his impact on his team. I think there might have been an age thing in there, and maybe there was some stuff too with Chris Godwin, but by and large, you see these two narratives that are really, really driving it, right? I'm not, as I sit here, I'm not necessarily rejecting the idea that there was other stuff going on, but you see these narratives drive him. And I think it's a big deal in terms of what was going on with him. And these totally important things, right, are driving his market value. When you see those things, you got to exploit them. So then I continue, when the market is behaving irrationally, focusing on value becomes a self-defeating strategy because you're trying to capture two conflicting outcomes. One is the improvement in market value, and the second is strong production. How do you treat a player who is consistently undervalued? If you are trying to capture improvements in value, there are types of players who will outproduce their market valuation while at the same time fall in price. Wide receivers in their mid-20s with multiple top 24 seasonal finishes are a great example of this. They are prime candidates for strong future production who the market passes over for the next big thing. This is coming off the heels of some work that I did in the book talking about basically like when you compare guys with hits to guys without hits, the guys with at the same cost, the guys without hits are much less likely to hit in the future. And it's a big warp difference. I think it's like 0.4 of a warp over the next 3 years. So it's a pretty, it's a pretty sizable difference there. So that's really the context of which I write. So they are prime candidates for strong future production who the market passes over for the next big thing. Amari Cooper, Jarvis Landry, and Evans are poster boys for this. All they do is produce while falling in value. If you are seeking value improvements but also seeking underpriced players, you're attempting to serve two masters that will rarely intersect in the trade market. Similarly, running backs are consistently better bets deeper in startup drafts than wide receivers. Yet the market continuously drafts wide receivers with the erroneous assumption they are better long-term bets. In this way, the dynasty market is inefficient in positional and roster construction. How do you strategize and project for a market that behaves so rationally? Reject value as a strategy. In his resignation letter, former Philadelphia 76ers GM Sam Hinkie provided a great example of NBA strategy that applies to Dynasty Fantasy Football. Hinkie wrote, quote, "What player do you think is most undervalued? Get him for your team. What basketball axiom is most likely to be untrue? Take it on and do the opposite. What is the biggest, least valuable time sink for the organization? Stop doing it. Otherwise, it's a big game of pity pat, and you're stuck just hoping for good things to happen rather than developing a strategy for how to make them happen. The Dynasty Fantasy Football axiom most likely to be wrong is how the market is valuing positions in aging wide receivers. Dynasty GMs consistently undervalue production in favor of potential, quote, value insulation. Take this on and reject it. Invest in undervalued players who the market has passed over. Likewise, in rookie drafts, invest in players with falling with falling pedigree the market deems bad values. Investing in Justin Herbert at a half-round discount or more from Joe Burrow or Tua Tagovailoa is exactly the strategy you're aiming for. With their historical outcomes essentially random, that's something I detailed in the book, that basically rookie draft position and ADP and, you know, the actual spot in the draft, when you're sort of grading in the bucket of first-round guys, it's not predictive in terms of their hit rate. So it's largely random in that range. And we've seen that, right? Like Josh Allen's better than Baker, right? Where by no measure was that happening, right? And you sort of look at the guys in that class, the third and the fourth guy in a lot of boards, or excuse me, the fourth and the fifth guy in a lot of boards were actually the one and the two in Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. So, yeah, so it's much there, and we see a lot of that too. That doesn't really change. So that's the context in which that randomness is brought up. When Herbert goes ahead of Burrow and Tua in 2021 startup drafts, you can laugh at how bad 2020 ADP predicted future valuation. Each year, there are players the market wildly overestimates or underestimates their likelihood of success given their base rate. Without an understanding of expectations, the market is constantly ripe for exploitation. When the market misses this big, trying to follow it for value's sake is a self-defeating strategy. Exploiting these inefficiencies is not unique to Dynasty Fantasy Football. The Oakland Athletics in the early 2000s revolutionized baseball by focusing on players with good on-base and slugging percentages that were undervalued by a market focused on batting average and stolen bases. The Athletics exploited this efficiency in the cheap acquisition of these players. Once they acquired these players, the same inefficiencies made the players unattractive pieces, trade pieces, because the market was not valuing their skills. Likewise, the NBA saw a revolution in the 2010s, with teams realizing three-point shots were significantly more valuable than two-point shots that were not at the rim. 3-and-D players like Shane Battier became integral pieces to efficient Houston Rockets offenses, despite Battier having little trade value. If you find yourself in a similar situation with a highly efficient team build that does not draw trade interest in the offseason, know this is a blessing, not a curse. When you target warp and useful in-season production, you may find your team counter-cyclical. In other words, when the market is heating up to trade in the off-season, you will have running backs who are functional for production or trade value in-season. What ends up happening is some assets on your roster will not be attractive on the trade market. This is not a bad sign. It's a sign you have good values on your team, made possible because the market does not appreciate the impact these players can make. Don't be frustrated by this fact. Be patient with the longest view in your league, and you will maximize your odds of winning a championship. It's not to say that market value is not important. Leaving yourself options and trading liquidity early in a startup league with young players who have some runway in their career will present flexibility if things go poorly in your startup draft. However, remember, who will rise or fall in value is more random than traditional dynasty advice would suggest. Likewise, you will want to understand the market price for players you're trying to trade. For example, when the market price is significantly higher than a player's base rate, the player is one you should consider trading. Similarly, when a player's market value is significantly below his base rate, you should consider acquiring him. So that's really something that I enjoyed writing, and you know, I've thought a lot about, which is that it's not to say market value is not important, but striving is it to protect it and preserve it. So much of it is actually just past production in terms of, you know, predicting what 2022 valuation is going to be is so much dependent on 2021 finish in terms of total points scored that at this point, like in January, it's nearly impossible to know that. Right, so we do our best in terms of range of outcomes with players, but sort of keeping those things in mind, it's really important. And these things change quickly too. I mean, DK Metcalf was the greatest dynasty asset of all time when Russell Wilson's touchdown rate was like 13.5%. Then when it regresses to like, you know, 4% down the stretch, and all of a sudden he settles out in the mid sixes, about where you would expect him to be, now DK Metcalf's not looking so hot. Right? I mean, sometimes these things aren't hard to foresee where they're going to go, except we're rejecting the market overheating on a player because we know that that's just not sustainable, right? 2.7 points per target is just not something that can physically happen over the long term. It's just not, because passes just aren't that efficient in any meaningful sample size, right? So we knew that, right? And so not getting sort of pulled into that, and now he's not that high, right? So you sort of, it sort of cools off a little bit, and you don't get sucked into to doing that in season. And, you know, so we could predict that one, right? But the market was not, was, again, acting irrationally. So we see these things all the time where the market acts inappropriately. You know, we see it with consistency, right? That's an easy one to exploit. This player is inconsistent. Yeah. Like, okay, I'll take him off your hands for a discount. That's fine. These things happen all the time. And understanding them, and, you know, if a player's undervalued, he's undervalued and is a good acquisition target. If he goes up in price, that's a bonus. But that's not really why you're buying them. I do lay out, you know, there's some more detailed stuff in here, but generally speaking, like as you go along, in for running backs, like once you hit 25, every top 24 season basically costs you, around a startup ADP. It's like the easiest way to think about it. And if they miss, it's like four rounds. But again, there's different ranges of outcomes in there, but you can sort of just think of that as a general rule of thumb. And, you know, so that's basically the cost that you're paying. Similarly with wide receivers, it's a little bit later, and it's 3 or 4 years later than that. So like 28, 29 is kind of like where you see the fall off, and the guys that hit are still going to, are actually going to go lower than the guys that, you know, that they're going to hit and then drop in value as well. So but that doesn't happen until a little bit later on. So, and I was actually surprised by that, that spot in the market, because it kind of goes against the narrative. So, well, that's just a highlight of that. You know, it was something I enjoyed writing, and I figured it would be useful here for you. So I hope you enjoyed that. And until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.